I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living
together.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 4 of the Relentless Pursuit Podcast. This episode is our book club episode, and we read Everybody Always, Becoming Love in a World Full of Setbacks and Difficult People by Bob Goff. Bob is an author, speaker, attorney, founder of human rights organizations in Uganda, India, Nepal, Iraq, and Somalia. He's a husband, father, and pilot, and loves helping people pursue their dreams. And he says his greatest ambition in life is to love others. So I first read...
He wrote the book on love,
literally. He wrote the book on love. His first book is Love Does, and this is kind of like a follow-up called Everybody Always. And so I first read this book about 3 years ago, and I remembered it fondly. And although Jordan and I have very different tastes in books, I know that this probably wasn't one of his favorites. It's a very light read. Bob is a storyteller, obviously, like the many roles that he's played in these organizations and as an attorney and as a speaker. He has a story for everything. Like this, and the stories are crazy. I mean, they really are. They're not ordinary stories. But I think the point of the book is that it's easy to love kind, lovely, humble people, especially if they're just like you. But in order to love people who are difficult, you're going to have to tackle the fears that you have. Oftentimes in like the dark, scary places of life, those places are filled with beautiful people who need our love. And so our ability to love has the power to change not only those people's lives, but our own lives. So we should love without inhibition, without insecurity, or without restriction.
Okay. So did you write that? Was that one of your takeaways?
That wasn't one of my takeaways. That's just how the book is promoted.
Okay. Yeah. So once a season, we'll have a book club episode. And I think, you know, we're reading a lot these days. And so it's nice to read the same book together. And we've shared a few thoughts about it so far. But I mean, what you're going to hear is really our first thorough discussion about what we've learned from this book. So how do you want to go about this? Should we just fire away with some of the thoughts that we
had? Yeah, we should just start. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I gave a good kind of synopsis of it's a bunch of little vignettes, the different stories from his life, and the way in which he learns about showing love or people teach him about love throughout his journey in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you read Love Does?
I did not read Love Does.
Oh, I didn't either. Okay, so that might be one that we can circle back to at some point. So this is really the sequel, in a sense. It doesn't feel like a sequel, but it is his second publication.
No, but I think the pretense of that one is if you love someone, then you do something. Yeah. That love does.
There's an old song, love is a verb.
There you go, love is a verb. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a great way, I think, just to wrap up Love Month. You know, we've been talking about loving my person and my people, about loving our neighbors and like the expanded definition of what a neighbor is, even loving ourselves. And so I think this is a good way to tie all of those ideas together, that it's not just about ourselves. Love is meant to be multiplied to many people.
Yeah. And I think before we get into the book specifically, I think what motivated our choice behind it was that we are interested in being just bigger, like better at loving. And I think that's something we've been conscientious of for some time, but especially with the focus of Love Month, it's useful to find a tool like a book. It doesn't have to be a book, but to find something like that that is going to just like spur us to maybe think in some expanded directions, inspire us to do some things that maybe we had some hesitation on before. So I think, you know, I kind of see that as really like fulfilling that role for us.
Well, and you know, we just, you know, are coming off an election and a new inauguration and all of that too. And you know, the tagline here is becoming love in a world full of setbacks and difficult people. And so, you know, he's right. It's easy to love people who are just like us or people who are our friends or our family or people we're comfortable with. But how do you love people who think the opposite from you or don't agree with you?
The opposite. Just think differently, have a different background or set of experiences or perspective. Yeah. I think sometimes we have our preconceptions about others that can stand in the way.
Well, and that we wouldn't love them because they're not like us. Uh-huh. But really, we should be loving everybody always.
Yeah. So it's a great title. And maybe in a sense, the title says it all. All right. So let me get a few things off my chest first because, you know, as with any book or book club, like I'm going to think about it, maybe a little bit more than becomes useful. But I would honestly say that I found about one third of the book useful. And it's the last third, so I had to work for it. So any of you who have read this along with us or have read this previously, hopefully you found more value in it. But I don't know if you felt this way, but first of all, it's very churchy. And I wasn't expecting that. I just want the book. I just like, teach me about love. This is something that he's kind of studied and thought about and done a lot with. Just hit me with it. But I felt like it was kind of encapsulated in just a lot of, I'm going to use that word pithy. I know you don't approve of my use of it as often as I do, but there's, in a sense, it gets a little formulaic and very surface level for a while, at least for me. And they're like interwoven with that are a few nice examples. He's a great storyteller. He's very entertained. It almost reminds you of like a Dave Sedaris kind of style where he can make you chuckle. And in the course of like, he's slightly self-deprecating and, but he's also like very charming. He's obviously a talented attorney. And he must have a lot of money because he's taking his kids like all over the world and traveling places. And he must have a lot of time too, it seems like, because of the crazy things that he seems to be.
Well, you make time for what's important. So he obviously is able to relentlessly pursue what he loves. And he says he loves loving people and helping others find their passion. So.
And that's one of the pieces that I felt was missing from this was, okay, like you are literally all over the world doing some really interesting things. And he's like a big charmer, right? I mean, I just kind of struck up a conversation with the Chief Justice in Uganda and now we're friends. And we hung out at Disney World for a whole day. And like, I mean, there's definitely a lot of charm to his persona. So I almost want you to break that down. Like, okay, like, well, how do you like have that kind of charm that lets people lower their defenses and you can even be like vulnerable and like a little silly with people? How do you have the time to manage your law practice, have however many kids that he has, I think it's 3 or 4, have this marriage and still kind of be the kind of person he's like hyper connected. He just name drops all kinds of people in the story too. So I feel like those elements were missing. And then what it was replaced by, which I didn't totally find value in, was like there would be like a personal story and you could see the formula. And then he would tie it to like a religious concept. And then there would be like a little hint at the end about how that relates to love. And after like seeing the first set of chapters laid out like that, I'm like, okay, come on, like give me what I came for is what I was saying.
Well, I mean, I think you can argue that about any, not that this is like a self-help book, but anything that like has a claim, like really it's like the point is almost on the cover.
Yeah.
Like love everybody always, like, right? Like that's the point. Mm-hmm. And then like even the difficult people and even in a world full of setbacks, like that's the point. That's really the whole point of the book. And so he does it.
But
like,
we also know that already, right? We already agree with that. So now
so you were looking more for
teach me how
a teachable, right. A teachable moment.
Yeah. So let me get to the good stuff though, because I would say ultimately this is a worthwhile read, and I would say particularly in the last third. So my takeaways kind of centered around this idea that he is a very, I would say like a, I would say a very, has a very creative approach to his love. And throughout the stories that he shares, which I did find to be the most valuable, that it didn't seem like he loved any individual in his life the same way. And to me, like that stands out because to love, and this is what this book taught me, there's like almost a disregard for your own self and for your preferences or conveniences, to varying extents. And that's probably where I struggle the most. And you know this too. Like I very easily like get into my own world. It's like I have my set of responsibilities, my goals. And that even though I desire to be more loving or more giving, like my roadblock is myself. Like feeling like I want everything to be taken care of. I want everything to be at peace, which means I've got to ignore X, Y, and Z so that I can focus on what my priority is right now. And so just kind of seeing his example that there are ways to kind of disregard your own preference for the sake of giving something to somebody else who needs it.
Well, and I think part of that point that he's trying to make is you're right. Like we have all of our own plans and intentions and things that we need to accomplish. And so when we're so focused on those, we're kind of like, you know, like our eyes are down and we're not looking around. And so I think in each of the stories that he tells, especially the ones that are more specifically about him and how he reacts, because he is this amazing guy, but like he'll even call himself out, like, I'm like upset in this situation. I'm impatient. I would rather not be here. What I want to do is grumble. And like, he kind of like reminds himself, like, let me think of somebody else before I'm thinking of myself, mm-hmm. even if it's going to put me out. And it's like he's learning the lesson like along with us. And so it's like kind of like that great reminder of like, if we're always just so focused on ourselves, we're missing the point and the opportunity of changing the world.
Right. Yeah. And
it's not through some like big, crazy interaction. It's through like patience and kindness, eye contact, even just a heartfelt comment. Like none of these things are hard, but they have the ability to change the lives of people directly around him, whether they're a friend or a stranger.
Yeah. And you can do big things. And maybe that's what we think of when we're like, oh, I want to be more loving, which means I need to like do something noteworthy.
I need to donate $20,000 to a nonprofit to right. show love.
Right. Sometimes that's our misconception of it. So what you're saying is that it's one interaction at a time.
Yeah.
And those interactions are often spontaneous and they're not pre-planned.
No, and they are. Like the point that you were making that I want to come back to is that it's not the same for everybody. And just because it's not the same doesn't mean it's not equal. Like the heart of the matter is that it's love. And love can be displayed, shown, proven in a variety of ways. So when we get hung up on this person's display or the way that they're loving one person isn't the same way that they love me. Therefore, it must be greater in one context or another. And that's not it. Mm-hmm. It's where is your heart?
It's not, I love you this many dollars worth.
It's not this, I love you this many dollars worth, or I spent more time with you, or I did this for you. And not, it's just, you do it as it comes up, as it like pulls at your heart, or as you know what somebody needs. And so in different times of your life, in different parts of your life, those come up in different ways.
Okay. So here's another thing that stood out to me as well, too. And this becomes more evident, like I said, in the last third of the book, where the chapters, there's multiple chapters that all string together this longer narrative that centers on his work in Uganda. So he kind of describes himself as, I'm a lawyer, and he's a pretty good one. And he even says that. And there's a lot, he has a lot of like appropriate, like lawyerly, self-deprecating kinds of jokes too. But he's like, you know, I'm pretty good at law practice. So when I was in this circumstance in Uganda, I was looking for how I could apply my savviness with that to some circumstance that needed that. And you think like what he ends up doing, it seems pretty remarkable. Yeah. But this is where I started thinking about myself. I don't need to do what he did, obviously. And probably even his level of savviness in his field is probably bigger than your average professional's level of proficiency in their field. I mean, he just seems like he's doing some pretty big stuff. But it's like, all right, I'm not him, but I am an educator and I'm a pretty darn good one. So how can I use what I have for someone else's gain instead of just like, you know, going to work, punching the clock and coming home? Are there circumstances either within the area that I'm already in or even beyond that where I can walk in and say, all right, like I can't do what person A or person B or person C is doing, but I can teach. Is there a place that I could apply that would be a gift, that would be loving, that would be, you know, something beyond my own self-gain?
I love that. That was kind of one of my takeaways. And one of the subtitles of the chapters was, we aren't held back by what we don't have, but by what we don't use. And so it's that notion of not getting caught up with, okay, I don't have an airplane like this guy where I can fly somewhere and save the day or whatnot. But even your own, you know, recognition. I work in a school with hundreds of students a year. What can I use? What, in what ways am I talented? In what way can I show love in that circumstance? Mm-hmm. That is, it's not like what Rosanna does, or it's not like what this person does, but how do I use my own talents and what I do have? You know, a lot of times we use excuses for why we can't do something. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough resources or knowledge about this, that, or the other thing. So therefore I can't do any of those things. So then,
and we just get
paralyzed. So then we do nothing. But, you know, maybe your only talent is baking cookies, right? Maybe that's your only talent in the world. So how can you utilize that, mm-hmm. you know? And you could use that talent or that gift, and you could love people through that.
I would accept that love.
Well, but, you know, that that you're baking for your local fire department or police department, or that you're, mm-hmm. you know, doing a bake sale and raising funds to donate to, like, there are ways you can use what you have to the love department. To love the people around you.
Yeah. And I think maybe sometimes we hide behind those excuses or behind the verbal gesture. Like, we could say, like, oh, I love you. I care about you. But it really goes beyond words if we're really being intentional with our love. And like I said, like, this is why I want to read this and things like it, is because I feel like that is definitely where I live as well. Like, I have my heart in a place where I genuinely love people, but if I were being honest, I would also say I feel somewhat inconvenienced by the notion of giving of my time or energy to someone other than who I've currently agreed to give it to.
Well, I think that's something you have to work on.
Right. But I can't be the only one. And I feel like we have these hangups or these excuses that keep us from really just overflowing with love in a way that then, you know, is affecting other people around us.
Well, so then I think the bigger question for all of us, whether you've read this book or not, is how is your life working for the people around you? Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, people will know who we are by what we do and not who we pretend to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever our social media squares are, or what stories we share, you know, all the highlights, you know, that's one way people see you, but people will know who you are based on how you make them feel and what you do. And it's not necessarily what you do for them, but what they see you do. Mm-hmm. So what are we actually doing? You know, that's just a good question. Your life is not just about you. It's about the people around you. Are they getting better? Mm-hmm. Because of your influence in their life.
Yeah.
And it'll be different for everybody.
It's a challenging question.
Yeah. I think one of the things this book brought up too is to check your blind spots. Because we all have...
What's a blind spot?
Well, think about when you're backing out of the car, right? Where do you have to check? A blind spot is what? Yeah. A spot that you cannot see, right? Or it's there, but you kind of dismiss it. You kind of like look around it, right? Do you have a better
word? I know what a blind spot is, but what do you mean by check your blind spots?
Like, are we letting our biases keep us from loving certain people? Mm-hmm. So like in our own lives, whether it's people we know or we don't know, are we letting biases that we hang on to keep us from loving certain people, mm-hmm. because they're different from us or because they're not in our circles? And so I think that's something that we really have to look at.
Yeah. You know, I mean, one of my favorite, little stories that he shares in the book is when he gives his number out in his previous book and in this one, and then it sells millions of copies. So he's just like constantly getting phone calls. And he says he relatively frequently gets calls from prisons, and those calls cost money to accept, but he always accepts it. And then there's always somebody interesting on the other end. And for me, that is one great example of someone who's different than you and someone who is, I would say, like, relatively easy to dismiss, in the sense it's like, well, you're impressed. You must have done something wrong. Like, I don't normally associate with people who have done something to the extent that they've been in prison for it. And he's like, no, like I do my best to like just accept them with open arms. Sometimes I listen to them. Sometimes there's something I can do to help them out. And I think that's one of multiple stories that he shares along those lines and kind of reminds me to think about like, are there, I would say like there are people who we just like perceive as different. And so we feel like that medium of understanding one another or our ability to meet their needs or even just our own like concern for our safety in a sense, like all those kind of become factors that we allow probably more than they need to be barriers to getting to know someone and seeing to what extent we can do something of love towards them.
Well, and then playing off of that, check your blind spots. Like we've all heard the phrase like going in blind, right? Like we don't really know what we're getting ourselves into, but we shouldn't let that keep us from trying or doing something. And I think that's the same way. Like, okay, you and I have committed to being more generous this year and, you know, donating to charities each month. Okay. So we have a plan for that, but you can't always plan for everything. And so we need to kind of think about, and maybe even for you, this is good, like, no matter what situation you're in, you're not going to know like what's going to come. So it's looking for those opportunities and not really knowing what the answer or the solution or what you're going to say or do is, but it's, are we okay with going in blind mm-hmm. and not knowing what's coming and just figuring it out on the fly?
Yeah. Usually no. So that is another nice challenge. And I'd love to, by the end of the year, I mean, this is at the end of February now, so I'd love to, by the end of 2021, be able to have some stories of our own that, like, if we were to write a similar book, like, we could start filling it with some stories that we would then hopefully use as some inspiration to ourselves and to anyone else that we're able to share that story with to say, like, this is what we learned, this is how we grew, this is what we moved into.
Okay. Do you have some other takeaways? I think I have one last one, but is there something else from the book that you were also compelled by or got you to think about something in a new way?
They're just interesting. Like, I mean, he mentions for each of his kids' 10th birthdays, he takes them on some sort of an adventure that they choose. I'm thinking like, oh, you know, like Chuck E. Cheese. No, his one son chooses Mount Kilimanjaro. And so I'm just impressed by, even with his own family, the extent to which there's, I would say, this degree of extravagance to the amount of attention that he tries to give to them. So, and again, it's a book, like, you know, he can kind of present this in whatever way he wants to, but that makes me think like, all right, like within the midst of this, as we're giving to others, we can't lose sight of those closest to us as well. And so he mentions this as well. I think sometimes we are interested in sort of the, I would say like that far off person, like someone across the world who we feel like needs our charity. And which is good. I think we should have an interest in that, but at the expense of having a blindness to the very people who are like literally right in front of us. And so for me, like I really want to focus on loving you and loving the kids in kind of this new way that we're talking about. And then expand that to like the people who are literally on my street, the people who I'm literally interacting with. Because if I can't love them or I choose to overlook them for the sake of taking up some righteous cause across the world, then I feel like I'm being a little disingenuous.
I mean, yeah, there are plenty of opportunities to love people right where you live, that you don't have to go far to make a change, to make an impact, to make a wave. The wave does not have to be overseas. And it can be, because maybe you have a passion or a calling
right.
to I mean, a certain
place. That's still
place.
Good,
sure.
Right? I'm not going to dismiss that. But I don't want it to be at the expense of, then I feel like it's a little hypocritical of like, oh, I'm such this great person, I'm this giver of love, yet the very people in my life are lacking what I seem to so abundantly give to someone else.
Okay. Well, that's a good challenge that your love can be local. Mm-hmm. So I think my last takeaway is that, and I had started to mention this earlier, is that love always multiplies itself. Mm-hmm. Are we leaving people, places, things better than how we found them? Like, when was the last time you left a person, place, or thing better than how you found it? Mm-hmm. And so looking for those opportunities to show love, and that's a way to show love. And are we only focused on ourselves?
Yeah. Well, I think what he meant by that too was also like not being the sole actor in a motion of love, but like bringing other people around that particular action or that cause so that you can kind of replicate that behavior as well.
Right. I was talking about this with a friend and, you know, she was talking about kind of like this ripple effect. It's like the way I am inspired her to do something. And now she's doing something similar for someone else. Mm-hmm. And she said, wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if years from now, you know, there's this ripple continues that you love someone in a certain way or teach them something that they're kind of transformed by and that they use to help somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then that person uses that to help somebody else. And then it continues to trickle. And I'll never know what that certain thing was and what I did for them and what meant so much, but they become transformed by it. And then there's hundreds of people who are somehow transformed by one action, by one person that then continues.
Right. So if we all kind of behave in that manner, in that openness of love, then really the world literally becomes a better place.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So I think next season I'll choose the book.
You know, it's funny because you are a very nice person. You do change lives on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis for the impact you have in the school that you work in. You're always looking to be better, but your degree in English and literature and dissecting books, sometimes you're just a harsh critic. And you're like this with movies too. Yeah. You can't just
I'm a bad movie watching.
You can't just read a feel-good book and just be okay with it, even if it's not totally realistic or if you don't totally agree. So,
well, I would say it was a light read, and in some parts a little lighter than I bargained for, but it's a net positive. So if you haven't read this yet or are looking for just, I would say, like a relatively like quick inspirational read, this book will certainly do the job.
Just check your blind spots, Jordan. Check your blind spots and your biases.
You better watch your blind spots too.
All right.
All right, well, thanks for joining us for this book discussion today. And this conversation wraps up our four podcasts centered around Love Month.
Yeah, but there's plenty of love left in season three. So continue to watch on social media and see what's coming up. And, you know, I did text Bob Goff because he does put his number at the back of the book.
We'll let you know.
We'll let you know. Maybe we'll get him on the show. We'll see.
I think so. So certainly, I think, just looking at Love Month, the idea of love is something that we focused on during this month, but I see it as really just a catalyst now. It's one thing to talk about it, and it's one thing to kind of share our thoughts and explore things, but it's another thing to do. And so we're kind of teeing off this year on this high note, and I'm interested in what the rest of our year will look like with this as kind of our centerpiece for how we're starting off 2021. And of course, for all of you listeners, we hope that this conversation, as well as the other ones that you've been listening to, have been equally thought-provoking, and we'll certainly look forward to hearing some of the stories and experiences that you all have this year as well.
Have a great day. We'll see you next week.
Love everybody, always. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope you will use this conversation as a starting point for your own. We hope you're encouraged to think and act more intentionally.
If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com, where you can find notes on today's show, plus additional blog posts, and you can subscribe to our free members list.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends.
Facebook and Instagram are two great places to connect with us for daily doses of our quotable quotes, behind the scenes, and real-time photos, videos, and challenges.
Until next time, let us know how you are taking life off autopilot.
And relentlessly pursuing what matters.